I wonder if you've heard any good news stories this week. It is more common for our newspapers, our television news, our phone screens to be filled with stories that are not often good news, that fill us with fear, concern, sadness. But there is a page on the BBC News article called Uplifting Stories. These are updated each week. Some of them I found this week was about a teenager praised for his quick thinking after stopping a runaway car from rolling away with two elderly passengers inside. Another was about a couple thanking staff at restaurants that stepped in to save the day when they were let down by wedding caterers at the last minute. And a 74-year-old man who collapsed in the street after feeling unwell thanked the actions of two teenage rescuers who got him to the hospital. I wonder if you've received any good news this week, things that are happening in your family or your community. It was my birthday yesterday, and many people sent cards, and a very good friend even made an amazing cake. Now, I don't know if birthdays are what counts as good news, but there is something about when something good happens, or when we're excited for someone, that we want to celebrate with them. We write a card, we maybe buy them a present, maybe we even bake a cake, as many are doing this week. In our first reading, that reading from Romans, it ends with that call into action. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah, but bringing it into real time to the people he is speaking to in that moment. A call to share the good news with those who may have not heard it, but particularly with those who can't believe that it is for them. Paul is speaking to quite a specific context. Jewish people who couldn't believe the Messiah was here, and Gentiles who couldn't believe the Messiah was here for them, and that they were welcomed into God's kingdom. So when Paul asks, how are they to call on the one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim it? He's really speaking to what needs to happen. The Christian community is a small gathering that's gaining momentum, but word needs to get round, and the people need to be the ones to share it. I love that the word beautiful is used there. It is beautiful when one brings good news. Because we have good news. But maybe sometimes we need reminding what this good news is. Because it's not often the type of good news that we might send cards or bake a cake for. The good news we have is what's demonstrated in our gospel today. A number of times Jesus shows up in storm, different storms. On one, Jesus gets into the boat and stills the storm. But this time, Jesus invites Peter out into the water. We've heard the story. Peter steps out confidently, boldly, recognizing his friend. And yet when he sees the wind and the waves, he doubts and begins to drown. But Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and rescues him and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I chose this verse as the verse of the week. We always choose one, it goes in the pew sheet. But I chose that one specifically because he rescues him as he comments on his faith. And I sometimes think we hear that as almost a criticism, you of little faith. But I wonder if that's not how Jesus is saying it. Perhaps he's noticing the little amount of faith that Peter has. And rather than highlighting the lack of it, perhaps he's recognising what is there, highlighting the sufficiency. As he rescues him, he comments on his faith. Jesus rescues Peter when he only has a small amount of faith. Maybe this is the good news. In the storms, in our doubt, when things are pressing against us, so much that we only have a flicker of faith, Jesus reaches out his hands to us. Jesus meets us in the storms and holds our hand. Maybe this is the good news. And as Paul says, how will people know and believe if they have not heard it? So how do we share it? Well, perhaps, again, we can take inspiration from the gospel. Perhaps it's about showing up in the storm. On Wednesday, Margaret was speaking at Compline, and during the prayers, she shared of the time when her granddaughter was ill and of people showing up and the prayers that were prayed for her that she only knew about afterwards. Showing up in the storm. I was also thoughtful when I was thinking about this idea of my cousin who spent a number of years during his teenage years in a psychiatric hospital. And he talked about how that place was so distant from whatever a normality is. He's living independently now and he can look back on that time. But he says the one thing that was familiar or that was the same as when he wasn't in that place was when the chaplain would come and bring communion. Because he said the chaplain would arrive wearing the same thing, with the same words, with that little tin, with that little wafer in, that was exactly the same as he'd seen in a church before being in hospital. Just showing up in the storm. Persistence in prayer. Friendships who stick by, who send cards perhaps in times of trouble. In breaking bread together. Jesus doesn't always respond to storms in the same way. As we know, sometimes he gets into the boat and he calms the storm. Sometimes he reaches out his hand in the middle of it and says, come. Jesus might not always make the difficult things go away in the moment. And yet this story reminds us that he won't abandon us. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, don't be afraid. I have called you by name. When you walk through waters, I will be with you. Peter would have known of this verse. Perhaps he'd read it aloud. Perhaps he'd had it read to him. But maybe he'd never really experienced the reality of that. What it means to hear his name being called and have someone literally walking through the waters with him. I wonder if there are verses like that for us that we've heard or read. But maybe we don't always get to experience the reality of them. Or maybe we don't notice when we do. Don't be afraid. I've called you by name. When you walk through waters, I will be with you. We're having a baptism in this church later on today. And I'm really thoughtful about this idea of baptism. And parents are responding to Jesus' invitation to step into the water. Come with me, and I will hold your hand. And as we baptize babies, we're thoughtful about all that lies ahead of them. I feel both excitement at what's to come, the person they are going to become, but also a certain amount of anxiety too. Thoughtful about the world that they're going to grow up into. Thoughtful at the moment about the wildfires and the extreme temperatures that we're seeing, and knowing that so many parts of the world have been living with the reality of climate change for much longer than us. We can't promise the children we baptize, the people we care for, a world without storms. But we can proclaim something else. We can proclaim that they don't face these storms alone, that we don't face our storms alone. Paul asks, how will they hear without someone to proclaim it? And perhaps that is part of what we're doing today. We are proclaiming good news. Not that life will be easy all of the time. Not that there will never be storms. Not that our faith will always be strong. But that when the storms come, Jesus is there. When our faith is only a flicker, Jesus reaches out his hand. And perhaps people will hear that good news simply because someone shows up. We show up. We pray, we stay, we share bread, cake, whatever it is, and we hold one another's hands. And today, as I baptize the little one, but the promise is there for all of us, the promise that whatever lies ahead, that child and each of us will never be beyond the reach of God's hands.